chametz into your house, you make a kinyan on chametz on Pesach. So you're like a mishum bal yira bal yimotze. So we focused on the fact that, wow, the fact that you did a lav al yedei maisa, so even though many times you're not going to necessarily violate with a maisa, but when you do it al yedei maisa, that's going to get malchus. So that's one element of this Rambam that's very mechudash. But there's another element in this Rambam. The Rambam l'maisa says that you're like mishum bayiro bayimotze. Now, simply, if I would just read this Rambam, that wouldn't have necessarily been something that I want to stress, and it's not necessarily so mechudash. But in light of Shitas HaRambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the Rambam holds when it comes to a repeated lav, there is no additional malchus, like we've been speaking about for the last few days, and we had a lasting impression on the Shabbos with the Hashkacha Pratis of Parsha Shemini being the source of the sugya for it. So now you really start wondering, why is the Rambam telling you that you're like a Mishum Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzei? So this is not my kasha. This is the kasha of Rabbi Elazar Meir Mizrahi. How could the Rambam say this in light of the Rambam Shita in Sefer HaMitzvahs? And this is what's quoted in the Kesef Mishnah. So there are two pshatim in the Kesef Mishnah. One pshat, a simple pshat, is that you're trying to be medayik too much in the Rambam. The Rambam just meant you're like it, and he told you the Yisr is, and he quoted the psukim of Bayir Abayi Motzei, but he wasn't telling you how many malchus, like Ke'en, Toisvis Kasha, and Toisvis First Teretz in Meseches Tmura. That the Mishnah says when it comes to the Yisr of Tmura, that you get malchus, Arboim, and Toisvis is bothered, but why doesn't the Torah say, Lo Yaramirenu, Velo Yachlifenu, that you should get two sets of malchus, 80 malchus, or 78 to be precise. So this says lav dafka. So that's really the pshat, the first pshat of the Kesef Mishnah, that the Rambam never meant that you were getting two sets of malchus of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimot. But then the Kesef Mishnah says something very interesting, which is extremely relevant for our sugya. Kesef Mishnah says perhaps there might be a more fundamental answer to this question. And not necessarily does the Bal Yirah and the Bal Yimotzei define itself in a parallel and equal manner. What does that mean? Who saw the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yisai? Saw the Kesef Mishnah. Perhaps I could have cases that Bal Yirah will apply and Bal Yimotzei will not apply. What would that be? What's the Kesef Mishnah's Vart? Who remembers?
Taman.
What? Taman. Taman, you'll violate Bal Yirah, and you won't violate Bal Yimotzei.
Was it a blind person?
No. It's about the way the chametz is situated. Is it hidden? Is it tucked away? Right? Is that the Lashon of the Kesef Mishnah? Am I quoting it right? Who could read it to
me? You're over Bal Yimotzei, but not Bal Yirah, no?
Oh, I said it wrong. You're over Bal Yimotzei, but you're not over Bal Yirah. Who could you read me the Lashon of the Kesef Mishnah, guys? Lo'id Nirali, what's the Lashon of the Kesef Mishnah? You have it, guys? Anyone have it in front of them? All right, I'll get it. One second. Where's the Rambam? Aleph Gimel?
Near Meina, no?
Aleph Gimel? Aleph Gimel?
Yeah.
Okay, Zokhtar Kesef Mishnah Vanira Beinai. The Lo Yiro Lo Mash Melech Shunira Leinaim Dafke. Chin Mash Besefer HaMitzvahs. Mashkaz Berg Dalit over Mishnah Bayro by Matz, Lavamrim, the Cholechmin is Gorm Leel Oiver Bishname, Elech the Sheikh Darvayo over Bishname. Oh, that's what I got confused with. But Tom and Loyavra Ella Abayimotze. Yeah, Avi, you're right. So he's saying that when you violate Bayira, yeah, you also violate Bal Yimotze. But in a Hanami, when it's Tom and then you only violate Bal Yimotze. So in order to answer this issue, the Kesef Mishnah is basically telling us a new way to learn our Gemara. Not necessarily was the Gemara after the Alfusas and the Gzeirah Shavas linking and equating Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze, and whenever you're violating one, you're violating the other. And Mimela, since we can differentiate between the two, that Bal Yirah is for open Chametz and Bal Yimotze is for hidden Chametz, so therefore they're not in a parallel Isser. So if that's the case, even the Rambam subscribes when there is independent Isurim, even the Rambam subscribes to the idea that distinct Isurim have different sets of Malkus. So Rabbi Sai, it comes out that this discussion of the Rishonim about how to approach the entire Sugya, once the Gemara is learning the Alfusas, that we're linking everything together. If everyone remembers, we learned the Ritva, the Rabbeinu David. What's happening at the end of the day in the Gemara? Is the Gemara actually saying, yeah, you have Bayram Bayamatsi on everything? And the Mela, everything applies to everything? And it's really just the same Isser? Or are there going to be differences between all of these Isurim? And like some of the Rishonim said, you might have, once the Riboy existed, you might have one without the other. Right? The Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah is saying in Das HaRambam that you're going to actually have halachic nafkaminas, right? Well, what was the Lashon of the Ritva? Lashon of the Ritva, if you remember, Rabbi Yisai, Lashon of the Ritva, right? The cave in Chicane, Sulo Shari Tom McBullen, Kechadol Sharin Mabat. Achirim Bish, the Lord Exer Shava, Litin Kula de Gulen Babat and Lemisha Shalachem Shagabolo Achrais, Litin Humer de Bat McBullen Maser Bachrais. Avalekabulum El Lav de Loy Rabul Hood, Uminosharin and Tom. So this was kind of the issue that was brought up in the Ritva as well. What was the issue in the Ritva, Rabbi? He said the two ways to learn the Gemara after the Gzeirah Shavah. The first day of the Ra'al was saying, whatever applies to one applies to the other. Both the Yisurim apply everywhere, right? So that means it's really just a repetition of the same Isser. And we're applying all the dinim of one to the other. Masha Enkin, the second Shita, is saying no. It's just to tell you certain Kulas and certain Chumras of Bat and Megvulim, but the Lav was never mentioned in the other place. Abaleka Megvulim Ela Lav de Lo Yirah Bil Chud. And it's not as if it says Bal Yimotzi in the other one. And there's going to be an Afkamina for hidden Chametz in Gvulim. So again, this is not, I don't want to confuse you guys, everybody say, this is not exactly what the Kesef Mishnah is saying. Kesef Mishnah is not really even getting into Gvulin versus Batim, which is what the Gemara was discussing. But you see from the second day of the Ritva, the same Mahalach of the Kesef Mishnah, which is now going to be so crucial for our understanding of the Sugya, because the question is, when a person now approaches the Sugya, and he raises the issue, well, what about the Machlekes, the Rambam, the Ramban, and Sefer HaMitzvahs? According to the Rambam, if you want to paint the case that the Rambam literally would tell you that you would get two sets of Malkus, you have to go down a similar route to the second day of the Ritva or the Kesef Mishnah to differentiate between these Isurim and to have situations that you're going to have one and you're not going to have the other. And they're independent in their nature. So Rabbi Yisai, it's not anymore just, oh wow, a fascinating Rabbeinu David, a fascinating Ritva, different days in the Rishonim. How do you learn post the Gzeirah Shavah? Do you apply everything and carry it over with the bridge like we were presenting initially? This ultimately, I want to suggest, as major nafkaminas la'alocha, about the way you approach Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. We've been running with the assumption the entire year that Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh is just the repetition of the same thing, but whatever applies here applies there. And based on the simple reading of the Gemara, on Daf Ei Amud Beis, it comes out, according to many Rishonim, it's not necessarily the case. And if that's the case, that's the only way you're going to get Malkus on both, according to the Rambam, the assumption Lefi the Rambam. And this L'chaira is ultimately what we started the sugya with, the beginning of the sugya. We saw the Ran asked the following question, Rabbi. So let's go back to the first Ran that we saw. What did the Ran say? Betmili. Keechad yalfinan kula shalachir migvulan amaylo yalfinan minayu kula da'atmona. Kedamrina bereisha da'braisa yachol yatmen ve'echa mekaymen etera da'atmona. Why don't you say that hidden chametz is mutter begvulin, and that should now even be carried over, and the Gemara should even suggest that maybe hidden chametz should be mutter everywhere. So the Ran says, no, hidden chametz I don't need to learn from the Gzeir Shavah in the first day. Nearly the end, vaday meikara amrina di loykos of elo yirah av amrina yochel yatmin. Okay, in the gospel, lo yimotze goli alo yirah de reiya lav dafk. No. Once I have lo yimotze, it's megala and lo yirah, that's reiya's lav dafk, Rabbi say. What's that day of the Ran saying? Now that we learned, Rabbi say, two mahalchim in the Ran. How do you get around the idea that tamun should be mutter and perhaps be a source that you could have even hidden chametz because begvulin was never aser? So the first day in the Ran says, no, Bal Yimotzeh is megala and Bal Yirah that Bal Yirah is lav dafka. According to that first day in the Ran, Rabbi Yisai, Lefiyani Yazdaiti, that whole approach is understanding that Bal Yimotzeh and Bal Yirah are not independent isurim. It's all connected to the same issue. One is megala on the other. Again, the first day in the Ran says, I don't even need a Gzeira Shava to tell me that Tomin is Osir. Avada Tomin is Osir. Why? The Torah said Lo Yirah. No, once the Torah said Bal Yimotzeh in the Batim, that was megala and Bal Yirah that it's Lav Dafka. Al Korch, that's packaging it as one Indian, as a Gilui on one or the other. Masha'enke in the second day that doesn't go that route and doesn't have an assumption in the entire sugya to say, oh, Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh was a giloy, but says, no, the only reason why I know Bigvulin, that hidden chametz is aser, is also from the Gzeir Shavah. So again, I don't have the Ran saying that there's going to be an afkamino la'alocha as far as the second day in the Ritva and the day of the Kesef Mishnah. But I can even just understand that there were that mahalach and learning that without the Gzeir Shava, I would have differentiated between Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, which means the approach of those Rishonim is that they're two distinct Yisoides. They're independent Isurim. So whether or not there's going to be an afkamina at the end of the day, the Ran doesn't go that far. He doesn't tell me that. But it's al derech, that mahalach, and you even have Rishonim that taka say like that, as we find in the Rabbeinu David, in the Ritva, and in the second day in the Ritva, and as we found in the Kesef Mishnah to be Me'ashev the Rambam. So again, the original kasha, Rabbi said, I want to make sure everyone understands, because the sugya was a few days. The original kasha that the Ran was discussing in terms of the way we presented it is, what was the havana in the sugya? What was the assumption in the sugya? Why didn't the Gemara even entertain the fact that maybe hidden chametz should be mutter even in the batim and learned out from the Gur? So the Ran had two fundamental approaches to that. Was it because the words Balyimotzi is Megalin Balyira? And it doesn't even mean that I don't even need a Gzereshava. I don't even need to carry over a bridge for that. Or no, the Ran in the second day says, Enechanami, you're right. We need a Gzereshava for that. Ultimately, those two Ma'alchim in the Ran, I think, are telling me, how do I approach Balyira Balyimotzi? Is it just one Zach and therefore Echad is Megala Alasheni and I don't even need a Gzereshava for that? Or no? There's Balyira and there's Balyimotzi. And then there's a Gzereshava. And the Gzeira Shava tells me that one of the dinim that applies to one should now carry over to the other and not be Megaliyah different. But the fact that I need a Gzeira Shava for that tells me that Bayero and Bayamotzi are distinct. And I couldn't just go with the option of just saying, oh, it's a Gilui, it's as if it's in the same Pasuk to reinterpret that word. And that, on a halachic level, will lead you to going the approach and saying, oh, I could have independent halachic implications in each of these isur. And if you're a person who subscribes to Shitas Aramba, that a repetition of an isur doesn't get malchus, so you might have to go like the second day of the Kesef Mishnah and differentiate lahalacha between the two isurim. Everyone clear on what I'm doing over here? Yosef, yeah.
The Rambam is also in his introduction where he like lists the mitzvahs. He also lists them as two separate mitzvahs. Balyira and Balyimotzi.
Gotcha. Beautiful. Beautiful. So, Rabbi Yisrael, what are you tying? I mean, again, this is my suggestion. This is a suggestion of mine. But I think that at the face value of what the Ran is saying is he just seems to be saying, just asking Akasha on the Havana Sagamara, how do you know one missing link that the Gemaras didn't seem to discuss? And the Ran has two approaches in the Rishonim how to approach that. But I think in light of everything that we've discussed, perhaps one could suggest that there's something much, much deeper going on here. And the next time we approach the Isser of owning Chametz on the Yontif of Pesach, the Isser of Balyira Balyimotzi, maybe you shouldn't be so fast when we throw around those words of Balyira Balyimotzi. Because once we learn a Rabbeinu David, once we learn a Ritva, once we learn the Kesef Mishnah, once we learn the implications of the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, so we realize that there might be a major, major, major difference between saying the words Balyira Balyimotzi or saying Balyira and Balyimotzi. And this is all based off of a deeper, deeper Havana into the Divrei HaGemara on Daf Hey Amid Beis in Meseches Psach. Does anyone have any questions? Because it was a hard sugya.
Yeah, Yosef. Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, Sammy.
No. So at the end, when we brought out the Run, what was the point of that? What are we trying to answer by saying?
No, I was just trying to go back to the Ran that we started off with, and I was suggesting an idea of my own that perhaps the two Mahalchim that the Ran presented at the beginning of the Sugya of how to answer his original question of why can't the fact that Tumen is Mutter in Gvulin now be an option that you could even be Matir hidden Chometz Babatim. Why didn't the Gemara ever raise that as a possibility? And the Ran suggested, oh, I'll tell you why, because that's not a real possibility. Because one mahalach is because once the Torah said Balyimotzi, it meant that Balyira did not mean only visible chametz, and we shouldn't read Balyira literally. And then the other day in the Ran is that, no, we learned that from the Gzeir Shava as well. So you could read the Ran as just having 2 days how to answer this question. Or what I'm suggesting is perhaps one could approach the Ran as saying, no, this Ran is now having a fundamental issue, debate whether or not Balyira and Balyimotzi is viewed as one unit, or no, they're separate units, and without the Gzeira Shava, I wouldn't have necessarily known that. And perhaps that hinges on our major Machlokes Rishonim, on whether or not every time you're over Balyira, you're over Balyimotzi, or will you find implications And again, different nuances in the Rishonim of how that will play out in terms of the approach of the general Isser of owning chametz of Bayir Abayim Matzah.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Yosef.
According to the Rambam, why do we have extra psukim? Meaning, it's just what's the point of four azharas for one lav?
Which four azhar?
I'm saying, like, in general, what's the point of an extra azhara?
And the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs, you're asking.
Yeah.
But doesn't he say that the Torah wanted to stress it?
Okay, so, there are lavim that have, like, more than, like you said, Shabbos has, like, 12 psukim.
Right. So you're saying, why would it say 12 and not 10?
Yeah, what's...
I don't know. I would assume that 12 versus 10 is more chizuk. It's not points. I don't know. It's a good kasha. He's saying, like, once it's stressed, so then, like, Yosef's just like, enough already.
Also, if the lavim aren't stressed, are those less important than the ones that are stressed? Meaning,
it's a good shot. I'm not, to be honest, I'm not really fully clear. You have to know, like, because, right? V'haya ekiv tishmoon, right? We want to even stress even mitzvah shah adam dosh ba'akevot, right? Even non crucial mitzvahs, right? So we focus on the fact that mitzvahs that are not the crazy, you know, the wildest and tremendous ramifications are also very, very, very important. So then now it gets a little bit complex. So then why did the Torah? Why did Torah stress certain things? You know, doesn't that seem like there is a hierarchy? So I think the answer, Moshe, is really a difference of this. The idea of mitzvah shaladam dosh ba'akovav has to be our approach. Our approach has to be that we have to have a sincerity to all mitzvahs. Once an entity is a mitzvah, so then we have to take it with utmost, seriousness, and we have to approach it in that way. That does not mean that there's not a hierarchy in mitzvahs. And, you know, even just from you know, the Chomer Avera, and Hilchos Tshuva, right? You have different tshuva for different severities of Averas. There is a hierarchy. And there is a concept that if a person is a Chayla that has Pikuach Nefesh, that he can't jump to the most severe medication, that he's going to violate if the doctor says that he can have an Isser Kal, he's mechuyev to have that Isser Kal because there is a level of severity. So I would assume that also in terms of stressing, and perhaps Yosef even stressing 10 times versus stressing 12 times, you know, the Torah is sending us a message about the emphasis on Shabbos, on our lives. That a yid without Shabbos, you know, even if it's stressed once or twice, still not enough. You know, the Torah wants to repeat it. You know, yeah, this is a question that you often find yourself, even just in Shnayim Mikra. Like, there's just a lot of psukim that are repeated. Why does the Mishkan have to be repeated so many times? Like, the Rebbeinu Shlomo obviously wants to focus and instill into us, you know, the certain messages that are crucial.
Then how come certain, like the Lavim said at Har Sinai, doesn't mention, you know, don't murder multiple times. Meaning, so therefore, if there is a hierarchy, so then would you say Bayir Abayim Matzah is higher on the hierarchy than you know, not to murder?
You're saying, let's say you find something that, in terms of a person's...
you know,
psychological approach would be very severe.
Right. You're assuming that, like,
and you find that that the amount of time, you have to find out. I mean, Lo Sirtzach is repeated a few times. There's, let's say you find something like that. Or let's say, I don't know, Chveis, an Avodah Zarah, right? Or something, right? Like, so you would think that that's very severe. And yeah, the Torah didn't repeat it. And some other way, the Torah did repeat it. But intuitively, you know that the Rebbeinu Shalom cares more about that because there's a chomer, there's misa skila on that, and this one's just a lav. So then your question is, so why is it repeating that? Why is it repeating that if it's not as severe?
Right. I mean, if things to the punishment could be less severe than another law, but it's repeated. Right.
Unless there's another criteria of what, meaning maybe it's maybe my example was severity, but maybe it's not just severity. Maybe there's some sort of other message, but it's not exactly clear to me what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted to stress in each and every situation. I don't think the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs, right? The Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs didn't say when or why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses it. I think he was just saying factually that is the reason why he did it, what he's doing. But to figure out why, I think is a very good question. I'm not sure. You have to really go through each one and come out with a rationale according to the Rambam now. Why did he choose that and not another thing, which is a fascinating question, but a hard question to answer. Very hard question to answer. Yeah. Any other questions, guys? Okay, everybody say, so we finished with this sugya, Baruch Hashem, a very fundamental sugya in terms of understanding really this issue of Bali Rabbi Matzibet. It's important to point out, everybody said, that you really have to harve in the Shakla Vatarian and Gemara, and really have to harve in the Rishonim. In this, you know, even if it's just a little bit of a cheshbonus, you know, in terms of what happens at the end of the day, pre Gzeir Shava, post Gzeir Shava, but to really get to the fundamental understanding of just what is this term being thrown around mean? What does Bali Rabbi Matzi mean? What is it? Is that just, is that one inyan? Is that two inyanim? Do they have an independent reality? Do they not have an independent reality? Do I care that they have an independent reality? Is Malkus a factor? Is not a Malkus a factor? So this is really again, something that comes in between the lines of the Shakla Vatarya. Sounds like from the Gemara, if you would ask me if I would have read through this Gemara quickly, at the end of the day, there's no differences. So the Torah wrote different things in different places, and Zehu, and that's it. And I don't really care. You know, everything's Usser in every place. And like we learned at the beginning. By the way, everybody, so this brings back what Avi pointed out, I think, at the beginning of the sugya, that if we remember from back in the day, in the really, I think, the first sugya of the year, so we learned on the sugya in Chaf Aleph, I think Judah also asked this question. We learned the sugya in Chaf Aleph about hidden chametz. Hidden chametz. What was the shaila?
About... Yeah, you shouldn't feed your chaya right before there's no nesir.
Right, so what was the shiloh there? Taisus shita was what?
The Rashi. The shina girsa of the Marshal and Rashi.
Right, but what was Taisus shita there? Oh, chamet sheni yadua. Right, that was it. Chamet sheni yadua. That was the sugya. Chamet sheni yadua, not hidden chametz, but chamet sheni yadua, if you violate Bar Rabbi Motzi. Remember this, guys? This was all the way back in the beginning of the year. The Nesivis from Kiveger, Masasek, Yesoidis. So we saw Rashi, like Avi's pointing out, we saw Rashi over there with the Gersa Marshal, and he says, Bedafka what? What does he say, Avi? He says, Bali Motzi and not Bali Ra? Or is the opposite? He says, Bali Motzi and not Bali Ra. So why would he do that, everybody say? We didn't know right away. But now, halo doverhu. Perhaps that Rashi might be telling us something very deep, that there might be a difference, lahalacha, between Ba'yira and Ba'yimotze. And not necessarily everywhere that you apply one, you apply the other, and it's as if, like the first day in the Ritva, each was said in each location. No, not so fast. There might be an independent reality. There might be a difference between one and the other. And therefore, we have to be medayik specifically about the different isurim, because what we've been assuming all year, just to throw around these terms of Bayer Abayi Matzeh, that it applies to both, like the first day in the Ritva and like the other day in the Rabbeinu David, is not necessarily the case. So that Rashi and that Marshal now is very interesting when we are now applying it with the yesodos that we learned on Hamid Beis of what the conclusion of the Gemara of Vayira and Vayimotze actually means. Okay, the next sugya, everybody, so I'm going to send you the Maamar Mekoymis, is a very